Pozdravljeni v še eni epizodi Vidnega polja, mislim, da je to že zaporedna številka 11. Tokrat pa s Kunto gostiva Mirka Ilića. Born in Jugoslavija je in je bil in je še eden najprominentnejših ustvarjalcev, kar se tiče oblikovanja in ilustracije, tako v jugi kot v svetu. Povezan z glasbeno sceno, novim valom jugoslovanskim, novi kvadrat, stripar, oblikovanje, bjelo dugme, prljavo kazalište, parni valja, kazra in tako naprej. Med drugim tudi kot o tamo pjeva plakat, ne? Čist tako, da damo ene par vizualnih referenc. Drugač pa dela in živi večinoma v New Yorku, ne? Tako da pa bomo v bistvu zdaj zaradi, zato da malo razširimo krog poslušalstva tudi.
Da prešal, smo bolj inkluzivni. Ne?
Inkluzivni, tako, lepa beseda. Bomo switchnal na English, ne? Hello, Mirko.
Kak ste paj?
The best. So, what is the occasion that you're here in Ljubljana?
There is actually few occasions, mm-hmm. but most important is they invited me.
They invited you, so you had to come.
When people invite you, I have a show in university here, and of my work, they choose the work and everything, and I'm just gonna walk around and pretend mm-hmm. I'm so clever. And also, I'm here because of my relationship to Tam Tam. Mm-hmm. You probably don't know, but 7 years ago, I had first show of Posters of Tolerance, mm-hmm. and first show happened in Ljubljana, and that's where I came on idea to make traveling show, mm-hmm. and now in March is 7 years from first show. Mm-hmm. in Ljubljana, and it's little anniversary. And also, this is going to be our 210th show in 49 countries in these 7 years.
Okay. All around the world, right?
All around yes. the world, except Australia. All uh-huh. continents except Australia. I don't know what happened there. maybe because posters, they need to hang upside down because they're down and under.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it's hard to see them. Anyway.
So Australians are not the best public for posters, I guess.
Yeah. Who knows? And for this occasion, opening of show is tomorrow here in Ljubljana. And for this occasion, we decide to show only, Tomáš actually, decide to show only posters which are there. Created after last show in Ljubljana, mm-hmm. that way everything is totally new. And we have also one show, a poster of artists from Slovenia mm-hmm. in this show.
Zorko,
yes.
right? Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about this tolerance project. The idea, the original idea derived here in Ljubljana?
My company... if I can call company, now there is 1.5 of us, produce approximately 60% of work for free. Mm-hmm. If we like something, we do it. And also, I like to support different things. And at that time, I was involved with two Jewish film festivals, one in Zagreb, one here in Ljubljana. And I even changed the name kind of one in Zagreb instead of Jewish Film Festival only was Jewish Film Festival of Tolerance. Mm-hmm. And that name got stuck. And because I helped a festival here in Ljubljana, which one was in Mini Theater, mm-hmm. And I even founded some fundings and whatever else, they told me they would like to give me a small square next to the festival to show. I think they was assuming I'm going to show my work. I take pride of doing things for free, and showing my work sounded to me then I'm gonna get awarded, and all these really really nice designers, and they're always very nice, will say, oh, that's why he did mm-hmm. all of this mm-hmm. to have his own show. Mm-hmm. And I decide, because the name of festival was Tolerance, to invite. We had 23 places for posters and one for announcement, altogether 24. I decided to call 24 designers from around the world to create posters.
Are these guys your friends? Or
Because it was very short notice. Most of them I was knowing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And also I'm very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my friend Milton Glaser. I don't know if your listeners don't know who is Milton Glaser. He's guy who designed I Love New York logo. Yeah. And I told him, I need poster from you for tomorrow or day after tomorrow, because then I'm going to include your poster.
That's a very good friend.
Yeah. I'm going to include your poster to my email to other 22 artists, and I'm going to write, and Milton already did it. And he told me, I was never bait.
That's a good kick in the ass.
I was never bait this time. Yeah. No, he died, unfortunately, in the meantime, but we was very good friends. For example, logo of Tolerance Project, he designed it for me. Mm-hmm. And same as me, he did all of this for free. He did I Love New York logo for free,
mm-hmm.
and donated to State of New York, and that logo is bringing approximately $20 to $30 million per year just from licensing.
Yeah. But originally it was designed for some festival in New York? What?
Well, it was designed actually for State of New York.
Uh-huh, so that was the case. Mm-hmm.
Now became almost symbol of city, not of the state.
Course. Yeah.
And anyway, to go back, and all artists that responded, and in 2 weeks we had all these posters, and we had show, and show was beautiful, but something unfortunate happened. Overnight before opening of show, somebody here in Ljubljana destroyed Arabic poster, which was written on Arabic. It was all ripped. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad, because on poster was written something like, don't be afraid of something what you don't understand.
That's quite ironic.
Yeah, it's very ironic. But what happened is, in such a beautiful city like Ljubljana, something so bad happened, we got some media attention.
Mm-hmm.
And media is not always a good thing. Because of that media attention, next day a guy decided to destroy all posters because he was hoping for more media attention.
So there was media attention, but no protection for following.
I must tell you one sad story. Tolerance posters, they got destroyed quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're public shows, except exclusively in East European countries.
Mm.
From 210 shows, maybe 25 was in East European countries, half of those got destroyed. One way or another, vandalize, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, it's maybe associated also with climate in these countries that are maybe going more to the conservative political style.
Yes, but also I think it's bad influence of communism.
Uh-huh. People, or anti-communism.
People don't believe in public property.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, and they think whatever was good, publicly good, is already stolen.
Mm-hmm.
This is no good.
Anyway, it's already state mafia.
And anyway, but to go back, and that show was really sweet, really nice. Posters, that was great. And was over, lasted 1 week, and was over. And I was thinking, it's so sad.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why I don't make traveling and move that somewhere else? And then I can maybe call artists from that country or that place to add poster. Mm-hmm. And I can call all other people who I didn't manage to call a first time round, because I had only 23 places.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything was very spontaneous, very organic, and it's still happening.
But these artists are all your contacts. It's not like you have an open call.
No, I don't have open call. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No. It doesn't work. Design doesn't work by democracy and committees.
Okay.
Unfortunately. I have extremely known designers, and I have some unknown, which I discover in process,
mm-hmm.
but I pick them.
But what is this process?
I can remember images.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dyslexic, and because of that, my brain is based on images, and I can recall work of people, And I remember some amazing great piece which I saw then and whatever, and I found mm-hmm. that person. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm very grateful to older generation because I stand on their shoulders. I have quite few friends with older generation of designers, illustrators from all around the world. And for example, I call some of them to do Tolerance poster show. And one of them, unfortunately, also recently died because he was very old. He told me, "Oh my God, for 15 years, nobody didn't call me to do poster because they got forgotten."
Yeah.
But do you also choose, like, because now that we are seeing some posters, I mean, the name Tolerance is kind of a peaceful word, but the posters themselves, they're also, like, provocative sometimes. They are making you think. So do you also, like, choose your collaborators on this? Like, if they are capable of doing something that is a bit edgy?
Do I look to you like Nazi? I have collaborators.
Okay, your friends, let's say, your friends.
Your
colleagues.
It's going in all directions. First, only requirement from designers except size is to write word tolerance.
Okay.
On their own language, because I didn't want to be like kind of colonialism of English.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and they, when they write their name, they also write name of country. That way you know from where they're coming, because sometimes that's very important to understand what is on a poster and why is on a poster.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and here is one of the rare cases, this poster here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes...
if we open it up, yes.
That is only mm-hmm. poster. And because they're going to see pictures of that poster right in a podcast. That is only poster which one was work of student. And I came in Sarajevo and I was I started workshop about posters over the Zoom. And then I came to see results and make comments and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I saw this poster and I love it.
Mm-hmm. So the one that we're seeing now, Tolerancia, is from a student in Sarajevo?
She's actually from Montenegro. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I cannot recall her name, not because I'm mean, but I can give you that later. I don't remember names.
Miriam?
Yes.
Jasavic.
Yeah, and I don't remember names. That's my brain works like that.
You remember faces.
Yeah, I remember faces.
You said that.
And pictures. That's more important.
I don't remember numbers too. That way. Anyway. And I say, who did that? And she walked out of the group and she was a little bit kind of, you know, because I'm tough. And she was dressed up like this.
Mm-hmm.
What, in a French flag?
No.
In a burqa.
It's not burqa, it's what you call in your language. I don't know how you call that. Hijab. And I told her, this is amazing. This is great. And a teacher actually took picture. She was like, oh my God.
Is
and,
it happening?
Yeah, and I told her, I think it's amazing. It's talking about France where you cannot wear
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Scarves in schools anymore.
And I told her that I will do everything in my life for her to be able to wear scarf, as I will do everything for girl in Iran which I don't want to wear. It's your call.
It's your freedom of choice.
Yes, exactly. That's the tolerance. That's what it's all about. Yeah. And I took that poster and I put it in my collection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only student poster in collection. That's only what I stumble across. And
here is quite interesting because it's like a European Union, but it's also
Madonna. It's many levels.
It is a Rosenkrantz.
Many levels. And for example, recently Austrian magazine published that poster mm-hmm. next to the first poster of Milton Glaser. And as a student, she's now. It's all around the world, mm-hmm. and I'm extremely happy with that poster, and it's kind of I'm showing you that because it's showing you partly let's call, if I can say that for myself, I'm enough open-minded, not because of what is context, but it's student work. If it's great, amazing. If it's somebody work who is 95 years old, if it's great, amazing. It's all about work, because once when that is on the street, people don't care if it's that done by male, female, old, young, or either is talking to you or is not talking to you.
What is important is the message.
Yes.
So it's not that you don't trust the younger generations, it's just that you have completely another method of...
No, but I trust younger generation, but I wanted to have mostly established upcoming designers. But also I was trying desperately to catch older designers forgotten to remind people they exist. Because of that, let's say...
Yeah, Yugoslavia was quite, I mean, tolerant in this sense. I mean, as I remember, like...
But it's not
Jovanovic,
only...
let's say, in this theater, posters and...
It's not even question just Yugoslavia. I cover whole world, designers that are from whole world. I think now, in this point of time, I have something like 150 countries, posters. But I just like some people... to remind they still exist, they're very important, you know, like it's in everything, in music, in everything, it's important to know who came before us.
So tomorrow, as you said, you have a lecture in FADV, Faculty for Social Studies. The lecture is called The Design Activism. So what are the basic points of your lecture?
Design and activism.
Yeah, that's what.
That's the basic point.
That's it. That's the point.
No, but point is a little bit. Point is a little bit what we are talking just now here. Lots of people want to get in their work. They would like to be known, famous, or you know, especially now with Kardashian crap and whatever. And that's very nice.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be a rebel a bit, I guess.
No, not rebel. Everybody wants 15 minutes of fame. They don't want to be a rebel. They won't cash in. Rebels, they don't cash in.
They want clicks.
Yeah, except once when you get in that position, there is responsibility how you use that position. Not just to sell crap to people, but also... to stand with people who have no chance, to help people who have no chance. And I think that's part of the duty of designer.
To echo the voices of the...
Yeah, but also to help as much as you can. And because, especially here in this part of the world where agencies and advertising is so big and whatever, everybody think the most important thing is to make lots of money and be famous. And... that's okay. I'm okay with that. Except, never mind how much money you make, you cannot buy clean air for your kids in 20 years. Never mind how much money you make, you cannot stop war and somebody gonna draft your kid in army.
Yeah.
You know, or you're gonna, or if you avoid that, you're gonna be a refugee. Now, again, you're gonna be rich, but refugee is because of that. We have responsibility towards this world, and I always use example of doctors.
Okay,
doctors that are paid by insurance companies, but that's not their client. Their client is patient, and you don't do things just because the insurance company told you don't subscribe. This is too expensive. Whatever, whatever. Your responsibility is patient. If you are a designer, if you're in advertising or anything, your client is somebody who consumed that, who passed by that, not people who pay you. And your responsibility is towards people to whom you show those images, not people. And ideally, you will satisfy both. But are you going to sell to a public product which they're going to kill them? Just because they're paying you? And that is
but
what
you also
all
have
about.
To have like a little privileged point of creating content, because some, I mean, it, not all media landscapes are so liberal that you can do that. I mean,
you find, come on, today you can find anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's easier to find like a place to publish, but.
No, it's not privileged.
I think it gets lost in
I started when I was 17 in communist Yugoslavia, and I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And you go that way. And if you start that way, like, you know, like it's all about you. It's all about you, how you position yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was always your position. I mean, your editorial work with editorial illustrations, they were always very direct, sometimes even brutal. How did that, like, how did you find your voice in the, let's say, American market, maybe, with this very direct approach?
It sounds like sarcasm. But I'm from East Europe, I can be sarcastic, right?
Of course, yes,
of course. Yeah.
I went in United States to not change. I didn't go there to change.
Yeah,
I went to not change, and I stayed exactly the same. And who came my way, great. Who didn't want to work with me, great. Even I had few people or a few companies which I refused. I said, sorry, I'm not working with your kind because it's...
Your kind.
Exactly, because I'm going to do something for Rifle Association.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean.
Exactly,
it's like, sorry. Mm-hmm. And we have our set of extremist companies and groups. Mm-hmm. And when I was working in Yugoslavia, country became too small for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bored. And last 3 years, I was doing not so good work because I was just like, and I needed something new to happen.
Some stimulation.
And at that time, only two countries which I like, and Europe was not united in Europe, was Holland. And that was another small country. You're going to go from small country to small country. And I was thinking, how long I'm going to need to waste that country. And other one was England. But that was time of Margaret Thatcher and really bad economy and everything. Even I loved punk and new wave and whatever.
Yeah, but great time for artists.
The artist was struggling that didn't need me.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's like... And then I decided because of few bad movies and a few good records and people like Lou Reed to go in New York. I didn't speak much English. I still don't speak much English because I don't have time. And it's not so easy when you're dyslexic. But I went there without much of English, with touristic visa. And I was thinking, I can always be a waiter. I don't care. But something new, something exciting, something different. Pack everything, went there, and that's that.
Mm. But what was that specific? What were the specific things you said you were bored here? But what was the thing that you got inspired again?
Look, how to say that? When I did first record cover, it was so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
When I did 101. Was not that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was some in between.
You did everything and
there was
nothing
some
more
in between.
To achieve.
Because at that time in Yugoslavia, and I started publishing when I was 17. By 23, I was established author. Only way up will be, and because I never finished university, I was not able to teach or anything like that. Don't understand me, not finish university. I never started. It's not like I stopped. Because I have only high school behind me. And I was able to get some government job. And at that time, getting government job is to pretty much, your duty is to terrorize younger people who is more talented than you, keep them down as much as you can. You know, and
I guess that's not the role for you.
I didn't like that role.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that role, and I decide it's time to move on.
But so how was the American environment, or how is it today? Is it still the same for you, or do you see any changes?
Changes are huge.
Yeah.
But because of that, struggle is going to be bigger.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bigger challenge.
Fight is going to be bigger. Yeah. You know, Italians, they had this phrase, lotta continua. You know,
the fight continues.
Yes, fight continues because, you know, somebody said in Serbia, and I'm gonna say this in Serbian because I don't know how to translate that well. I mrak se širi brzinom svjetlosti.
Okay.
When you turn off the light,
the darkness comes.
Darkness comes, and because of that, you must keep light as much as you can. And look, I'm obnoxious, and I think, you know, I can maybe do that, but I at least can try in my little area of expertise.
When I checked your book about these editorials, they're really fantastic, and it just came to my head, like, were you ever too radical? I mean, you worked with some big also newspapers that are really careful about their public image. Did they ever tell you, Mirko, can you take a step back? You went too much. It's too radical, or it's too... The message doesn't go with our message of the...
I was in Yugoslavia because I was working for this political magazine, Danas, and for Start, all these political illustrations and whatever. I had one single illustration which they didn't publish.
Okay, in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, it was about Stalin and Goli Otok.
I know which one. The bald spot.
Yeah, and, but you know why they didn't publish that one?
Why?
Because they got my joke. On that one...
you should have told them.
On that one, if you remember, in corners, the three palms.
Yeah.
And there was a song, Tri palme na otoku srećne. That was just my inside joke, which I was not that inside. Yeah. Anyway.
It was too much.
And I know it, I'm pushing, but it's very easy to do illustration or any kind of work and end up in jail or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best is when you come on edge and they think you're going to fall down and you don't. Mm-hmm. And best is when you push those walls. And of course, doing same illustration for New York Times or same subject for New York Times and Village Voice require totally two different ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. Except I try to adjust to the public, but not in my, how to say that, position. That means I will not do something about abortion, pro-abortion for New York Times, against abortion for Village Voice, and being neutral for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'm always for freedom of abortion. Just how far you can push that visually, you must know who is your public. Mm-hmm. And that is... You adjust yourself, and sometimes that dance is kind of interesting because you have idea and you go, oh, they're going to refuse immediately. But how I can shift and sell them same idea, but just with more appeal of publishing.
How to sell them the idea that they probably don't like.
I always joke, how to sell body of your work without selling your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a lot of people can manage that. No, that's
but you know, it's years and experience.
I think we are quite good already on time.
But I would like to ask just one question, because I think you started off as a comics artist. Would you maybe describe the correlation between creating, because your early comics are very, very, like, very designish. They can work. Comic Shakti comes to mind. It actually works like a poster. What's the correlation? Because I think that you still, in your illustration, you still have a very similar approach that you had. And you still do visual essays, which are essentially mute comics, right? The correlation between design
My first work was actually illustration. My first published work was illustration, what was, to me, very cute. I was 17-year-old, and I was going around different papers and giving them some drawings. Mm-hmm. And I left few drawings in Omladinski tjednik. And I was so ambitious, first knocking on their door, but I forgot to sign the drawing. And they published without my signature.
Yeah.
And that was perfectly okay. I didn't care.
Yeah,
you had published. Yeah. Oh my.
Now I'm that guy who yeah. I don't know who he is, yeah. and it's in the newspaper.
It's me. And anyway, but because I didn't have enough work, and I was working a little bit for like Modra Lasta is for kids paper and okay. whatever, but because I didn't have enough work and I had huge amount, I felt energy in me, mm-hmm. I'd figure out if I spend that energy on drawing comics. And if that one page comics, because that's how long I can concentrate mm-hmm. on okay. comics, otherwise I want to do something else. I get bored really fast. I can sit at home, practice different styles. That's why my comics, until I figure out what I like, what I don't mm-hmm. like, what I can do. And in same time, one day maybe somebody going to publish them. I had huge problem, which one is blessing, actually. My best friend of at that time, and he's still my good friend, was Corday, Igor mm-hmm. Corday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that guy can draw anything. Mm-hmm. And he can draw with left hand and right hand. And if you tell him, can you draw here 100 people? He goes, no, 100 people. And you feel like Salieri and Mozart, like, why God gave him talent? Yeah. And he's drawing next to me, and I'm like, shit. And I figure out I can be better than him only if I try to be very, very clever. Only if I really think hard.
Yeah.
And then I even started to terrorize him. I started to write scripts for him to draw. Mm-hmm. I felt much better. Oh, he's drawing. Oh, he's working for me.
Anyway,
and in that process, because I try to figure out how I can maximize talent which one I have without stepping in territory which one I cannot.
Yeah.
But also always a little bit pushing borders. Mm-hmm. And because I was always in my head graphic designer, mm-hmm. I start to approach comics mm-hmm. as a graphic design. Also, at that time, printing was horrible, especially mm-hmm. in youth papers. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to draw comics to look perfect. I don't have white on comics. I never did corrections. Mm-hmm. I will do again if it's necessary.
Oh, really? Oh,
because
okay.
I wanted to be perfect.
Yeah, you're a bit perfectionist, right?
Before, you did it again, even before, on those very detailed...
Yeah, before leave my hand, up to that point to be perfect. After that, whatever they do, I don't care. Mm. And I enjoyed that process. And then I was trying to think visually. I didn't know that time I'm dyslexic. Mm-hmm. That I figured out that later because at that time they was thinking you're just a little bit stupid.
Yeah.
I was okay.
He's an artist.
Or lazy. I was okay because I was nice looking. A little bit stupid, but nice looking. And I will think how to do this, how to do that, mm-hmm. thinking all this because I had all time of the world. And what is so funny, whatever I did in the comics reflected on all other of my work. Mm-hmm. For example, my illustrations, the crap, like in comics, I know where to focus drawing,
yeah.
how to like, it's almost look like you cut square out of the, or frame out of comic. Because in comic, I was thinking about, a lot of time, about movies.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
structure.
Yes.
Because of that, my design, especially when I design books or whatever, is like a movie. Because when you think book is designed as a movie or opposite.
Yeah, it's a sequence of...
No, but you have cover, which one is poster. Mm-hmm. Then you open, you have introduction. Who is in a movie, title and whatever.
Yeah, opening credits.
Yeah, and it's going up in a drama and down in drama. And on the back, you have all this like, who is doing light whatever.
Colophon.
And then you, when you figure out that, then you try to see how you can bend system and do something different. And I was always interested in that because I'm quite easy to bored with what I do. First I was doing only one page. Only last comics was like 6 pages, and then I started one with 10, and I never finished, and it's still not finished. Because I wanted to experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think that experiment you can see in my illustrations, they're not always same, they're looking different. Also, I like to experiment with technology, whatever comes my way.
You did quite a lot of 3D work quite early on.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I did. But for example, I did a movie title for You Got the Mail, which got lots of recognition or whatever, and it was one of the first 3D titles, and it was tons of money and everything. And I was so bored with that. I like another movie. Yeah, and I said, I'm not doing another one. And I stole computers and everything and walked away. Mm-hmm. And I got pencil and I started to draw with pencil. Mm-hmm. And then, because I was doing comics in a time when I didn't have nothing else to do. And then I stopped doing comics after I published in all magazines around the world where I want to publish. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I made it my dream come true. Mm-hmm. I had the idea, that magazine, publish, walk away. And then COVID happened. And I had at home probably for at least 6 months or a year, iPad, which I pretty much didn't open. And I was thinking, okay, COVID is a little bit now, I'm in a situation like when I was 17 and I didn't have nothing to do sitting at home. I'm going to take iPad. I'm going to take Procreate. I'm not going to introduce any new brush because I hate too many possibilities because usually they don't work for me. I'm going to use pretty much three colors, grayish, bluish, grayish, and black. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create, as when I was a kid, one-page comic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're going to all, because I'm dyslexic, they're not going to have text. And each one I'm going to try to draw in slightly different style, except they're going to all have jagged edge. That's my...
And the colors are the same, right?
Yeah. And that was my... And then each time, each one I tried to use different brush inside of Procreate, that way just to see how that worked. And turn out, suddenly I was doing comics again after 40 years. And I have now a whole book. But I'm thinking now, maybe shall I publish book? I'm not so sure. Because I did them for myself. And I published them on my, you know, like Facebook or whatever. I have fun. And whatever stupidity comes on my mind, I put in a comic.
I think that's a beautiful way to end this.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Thank you very much, Mirko, for coming here. Evo, poslušali ste podcast Vidno polje. Snemali smo ga v studijih Radio Študent. Z vami so bila Kunta pa Biga. Se poslavljamo. Če le imate priliko, seveda ujemte Mirkota v Figovcu ali pa na Fadeveju. Ja, tako. To je to.
No, ne, zdaj bojo pa bobenčki. Ne, bobenčki. A veš, ja, to tudi. Tako.